It's 5 and 10 from Skywatch TV. Five topics in about 10 minutes for April 16th. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number five today, a free ride for migrants. The White House on Friday confirmed that it is, in fact, considering transferring immigrants who are in the country illegally to Democrat-controlled sanctuary cities. President Trump tweeted on Friday that his administration is giving this consideration, even after spokespeople inside the White House said, no, we considered it, but we're not going to do that. President Trump tweeted out that we are indeed, as reported, giving strong considerations to placing illegal immigrants in sanctuary cities only, adding that the radical left always seems to have an open borders, open arms policy. This should make them very happy. The plan was reportedly pushed by top Trump advisor Stephen Miller, according to two officials within the Department of Homeland Security. Well, of course, this made Democrats' heads explode. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the idea despicable. Democratic presidential candidate Senator Cory Booker says Americans would be less safe if the president were to do this. House Homeland Security Committee Chairperson Representative Benny Thompson of Mississippi described it as cruel. And California Governor Gavin Newsom, home to sanctuary cities San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, said the idea is asinine, unserious, illegal, and sophomoric. I fail to see how the sanctuary cities would not want to. What the president has done here is he's called the bluff of progressives who want to feel good about themselves without actually having to do the hard work of dealing with a group of hungry, tired, possibly unhealthy people arriving in their cities with no jobs and no place to stay. That requires a lot of work, a lot of money, and can create some additional problems, which in fact has led some of the Trump haters, victims of Trump derangement syndrome, such as the former pop star Cher, who never misses an opportunity to slam Donald Trump, has actually forced them into a position where they are now making the president's point for him in her rush to denounce President Trump for proposing, as far as I can tell, nothing more than giving a free ride to illegals, to cities that say they're welcome. Cher tweeted, I understand helping struggling immigrants, but my city, Los Angeles, isn't taking care of its own. What about the 50,000-plus American citizens who live on the streets, people who live below poverty line and hungry? If my state can't take care of its own, and many are veterans, how can it take care of more? Cher, that's exactly the point. That is why the president floated this idea. I doubt he really means it. But what he's done, of course, is force progressives to show their true colors. They want it both ways. They want an open border. They want to welcome all of these people streaming northwards from places that are not nice places to live, as long as they don't have to look at them when they go to Starbucks. Topic number four. Assange arrested. Julian Assange, founder of WikiLeaks, turned over to police in the UK last week after spending more than 7 years holed up inside the Ecuadorian embassy. He will presumably be extradited to the United States to face charges for things that he allegedly did during the Obama administration. Now, media outlets at the time, 7, 8 years ago, like the Washington Post, defended Julian Assange on the basis of First Amendment protections, freedom of the press. The media is not really coming to his defense right now. In fact, I'm hearing a lot of conservative or so-called conservative commentators denouncing Julian Assange, saying he should be prosecuted for making known things that the American government should keep secret. Well, what has happened between 2011 and today? Well, now we've got a Republican in the White House, Donald Trump, when back then there was a Democrat in the White House, Barack Obama. As far as I can tell, there are two reasons that the media is not defending Julian Assange today. First, he's not one of them. So how dare he expect the same type of First Amendment constitutional protection that they enjoy? He's not a real journalist. He's just a blogger. That Constitution really doesn't define what makes a journalist, but media elites like the Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, etc., want to be the ones who decide who gets a seat at the table when it comes to journalism, which means that people like us here at Skywatch TV, people who blog about the news and so forth, they don't believe should have the same type of protection under the United States Constitution. Now, secondly, Which I, by the way, there were plenty of media outlets that were willing to run with and profit from through increased circulation and advertising revenue, the data that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks released back in the day, because some of these stories were pretty profound. I think secondly, and what's more important here, I think the reason Julian Assange is being prosecuted now and why the major media is mainly keeping silent about it is because he's destroying official narratives. And there is no more unpardonable sin in the modern world than destroying the official narrative. For example, in the case of Julian Assange, we wouldn't have known about the Democratic National Committee's attempt to tip the scales in favor of Hillary Clinton in the last presidential election without the release of the DNC's emails via WikiLeaks. Also, some of those other releases in there, which are really not given much attention at all in the mainstream media, the real reason the United States backed NATO's intervention into Libya. When you read the emails going back and forth between Hillary Clinton and other people in governments, you find it was because Nicolas Sarkozy, then president of France, was upset that Muammar Gaddafi was about to create a gold-backed currency to replace the French franc in the Francophone nations of Africa. You can't do that and expect to get away without consequences. So what is going to happen to Assange? We don't know. There may be other factors at work here. In fact, there's some reports that the United States dangled the prospect of a trade deal, a favorable trade deal, to the new government in Ecuador. Assange got asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London under the previous administration, which was more antagonistic to the United States than the current government in Ecuador. So that may have opened doors here. But think about this. There may be more here than meets the eye. Think about this, and I'm just floating this as a possibility. I didn't think of this. I'm just passing this along. What if, now that the Mueller report is due to be released here in the United States on Thursday, according to some reports, what if the United States is extraditing Julian Assange and saying, look, you got two choices here. We prosecute, or we offer you a sweet plea deal in exchange for you telling us who really released the Democratic National Committee's emails. In other words, now that the Mueller report is about to show, hey, there was no Russian collusion with the Trump campaign back in 2015, 2016, what if Assange completely flips that on his head and reveals who actually released it? Because there's some evidence to suggest that the leak came from inside the DNC. We shall see. Topic number three. Notre Dame burns, not the university in South Bend, but you know this already, the famous cathedral that dates back to the 12th century in the middle of Paris, the place made famous by Victor Hugo and his hunchback. Colossal fire swept through Notre Dame Cathedral on Monday. A spire collapsed. Cause of the blaze, not immediately confirmed, but there had been ongoing restoration work, and some suggest that the restoration work was the cause for it. No casualties, thank God. Again, no evidence of the cause. It took about 15 minutes for conspiracy theories about the causes to emerge. Now, if you followed this program for any length of time or the podcast that Sharon and I began producing in 2005, one of the oldest on the internet, you know that I often take the official narrative with a big grain of salt. But so far, I haven't seen or heard any credible evidence that there was anything artificial about the origin of this fire. Having said that, we do note that Raymond Ibrahim, author of the book Sword and Scimitar, which is a history of Islam's war with the West, that churches in France and all over Europe are being attacked, desecrated, on a regular basis, and it's happening more and more frequently in recent months. And of course, this is Holy Week on the Roman Catholic calendar, the week between Palm Sunday and Easter, so it's something to keep in mind. The cathedral, of course, is a powerful symbol in France, but a symbol of what exactly? Between 12 and 14 million visitors go to Notre Dame every year, but how many actually go there to worship? Well, frankly, not many, although between 41 and 88% of the population of France identify as Roman Catholic. Less than 2% of the French population are actually practicing Roman Catholics. In other words, only about 5% of Roman Catholics actually attend Mass on a regular basis. The rest sort of wear their religion as a cultural thing, which, frankly, you can say that about a lot of American Protestants, too. So it is a symbol, but a symbol of what? Nationalism? National pride? Here's the real symbol, the picture behind me, taken inside the ruins of the cathedral earlier today. Burn down all the churches around the world, and the gospel of Jesus Christ will still shine brightly in an ever darker world. We don't need the buildings. We should stop confusing the buildings with the church. Topic number two, heartbeat bills. Following the state of Mississippi, the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, signed a bill last Thursday that requires abortionists in that state to determine whether or not a baby's heart is beating before proceeding with the procedure. And if a heartbeat is detected, it prevents the abortionist from actually terminating the life of the unborn child. Now, this is similar to the Mississippi legislation, which is now being challenged in court. And of course, there are concerns about allowing an abortionist to be the one to determine whether or not a heartbeat is detected. And of course, this bill in Ohio does not provide any protection for children where a heartbeat can't be detected. You may be able to detect via ultrasound a heartbeat at around 6 weeks, although it's not unusual for ultrasounds to miss the heartbeat until 7 or 8 weeks. Still, this is an improvement, and pro-abortion activists, of course, are protesting in Georgia. Planned Parenthood leaders are calling it a similar bill there, which the governor is about to sign, blatantly unconstitutional. The former gubernatorial candidate, Stacey Abrams, said that the pro-life bill is abominable and evil. Abominable and evil. She went on to say it's bad for morality and our humanity, and suggesting that businesses, including movie makers, filmmakers, because Georgia has a lot of television programs and movies that are filmed there, Abrams actually said that this bill to protect the lives of unborn children would be bad for business. Right, because that's how we weigh the value of an unborn life. Well, on a similar note, the director of the PureFlix movie Unplanned, Chuck Konzelman, a movie that's doing a lot better at the box office than many people thought it would, by the way, told Congress last week that nearly 100 abortion clinic workers who've seen the film and now realized what they've been doing have contacted Abby Johnson, whose story is the one portrayed in the film. Abby Johnson was the former director of a Planned Parenthood clinic who saw a child on an ultrasound and quit, and is now an anti-abortion activist, a pro-life activist. This is powerful. This is powerful. And yet, Johnson, whose story of how she changed the entire direction of her life is the plot of the film, says that the popular Christian radio network K-Love, which plays mostly praise and worship songs, has refused to broadcast ads for the movie Unplanned because K-Love says it's too political. Protecting the lives of the unborn is too political for a Christian radio network, not to put too fine a point on it. We need the light of the gospel more now than ever. Well, coming up, is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu the reincarnation of Jonathan, son of King Saul? That's next on 5 and 10.
The harvest field is widening, and we have an unprecedented opportunity to reach a lost generation during what may be our final years here on Earth. SkyWatch TV is proud to announce the Everyday Champions Ultimate Collection. This unbelievable collection includes Everyday Champions, where you'll discover the most overlooked spiritual gifts in the Bible. Learn to identify and operate in your own supernatural, God-given gifting. Discover what Paul actually meant when he wrote about the uncomely parts of the body of Christ. You'll meet real-life champions whose small investments equal huge contributions to the kingdom of God. And I personally share my experiences in both authentic and superficial religious institutions. In this timely collection, you'll also receive the Everyday Champions 4-week SkyWatch television series on DVD, including interviews with Ali Anderson, myself, Joe Horn, Derek Gilbert, Dr. Thomas Horn, and Donna Howell. But we're just getting started. You'll also receive Ali Anderson's new book, Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox, which is already being described as a definitive and urgent analysis regarding so-called unreachable millennials as key to the future of the church. You'll discover what devastating modern epidemics are sweeping our youth away from God, and what believers can do to intervene, how modern identity politics and economic stressors have robbed our youth of an opportunity to confront their destiny, and the real reason millennials are leaving the church, and what the body of Christ can do to reverse this trend before it's too late. This incredible collection also includes the Unscrambling the Millennial Paradox 13-week Teacher's Guide PDF on disc, perfect for small group discussion, church curricular use, teaching or preaching series, personal use or education. But we're still not done. At Skywatch TV, we are committed to reaching this generation with solid biblical teaching, which is why we're including free, that's right, free, the beautiful, classically oversized, Strong Systematic Theology 3-volume set. These large books are perfect for the researcher in your life and hold a retail value all by themselves of $150. Yours now for a limited time, absolutely free, when you order the Everyday Champions Ultimate Collection. Sold separately, this huge assortment holds a retail value of $250. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Now's your chance to be part of what may be the greatest awakening the world has ever seen. Order the Everyday Champions Ultimate Collection online now at the Skywatch TV store or call 1-844-750-4985.
And topic number one, the reincarnation of Jonathan. An award-winning Bible expert in Israel says that Prime Minister Netanyahu is the reincarnation of the biblical figure Jonathan, friend of David, son of King Saul. And furthermore, that he's returned to fulfill his promise of helping David bring in the Messiah. Rabbi Levi Sudri, who is crowned the, forgive my pronunciation, the Chatan HaTanach, which means the Torah's bridegroom, won first place in the Israeli National Bible Quiz for Adults in 2015. He believes Benjamin Netanyahu is fulfilling the role of Messiah ben Yosef, Messiah ben Joseph, the first of two messiahs expected by Jews. He'll fight the war of Gog and Magog, and then will fall in that war, and then either be resurrected by or resurrect into Messiah ben David. Now, to be fair, the rabbi says that this theory that Netanyahu is here to lay the spiritual groundwork for Messiah ben David is conjecture, so we'll give him that, but we respectfully disagree. Messiah ben Joseph, Jesus, son of Joseph, he came 2,000 years ago. We likewise are waiting for Messiah ben David, but he returns as a conqueror, and when we see him, it will be in the clouds with great glory, according to his word. Well, we depend on your support here at Skywatch TV. In the month of April, for your donation of any size, you get both of these books, Learning to Lean, a collection of uplifting stories provided by Skywatch TV viewers. And When Jesus Sets You Free, You Are Free Indeed, by our friend John McTernan. That plus Carla Faye Tucker's DVD. Again, for your donation of any size, U.S. and Canada only, please. And you can donate by either calling 844-750-4985 or logging on to skywatchtvstore.com. You can also get information there about helping us build our new studio in 2019 and how we will thank you for your help in helping expand our ministry. Sharon and I honored to be part of the Unsealed Scroll Prophecy Conference. This is brand new. This will be in San Antonio. The very first one will be there along with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, L.A. Marzulli, Bill Salas, Paul McGuire, Pastor Billy Crone, Jim Barfield of the Copper Scroll Project, and more. Oh, music by John Schlitt, too. For information, log on to unsealedscroll.org, unsealedscroll.org, and remember the promo code Gilbert20. Saves you 20% on registration. We also just accepted an invitation to speak at the Hear the Watchman Conference, California. This is coming to Orange County, California, Irvine, the Hilton Irvine Orange County Airport. L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat, Pastor Paul Begley, Josh Peck from Skywatch TV will be with us. This is October 11th through 13th, the weekend after the San Antonio conference. For more information on this one, log on to hearthewatchmen.com. Skywatch TV on new networks as of this month, the Word Network, the Total Living Network, and in Albuquerque, KAZQ TV 32. For a complete list of channels, networks, and times to watch Skywatch TV's weekly broadcast, log on to skywatchtv.com. You'll find it in the top menu bar there, or just have us broadcast whenever it's convenient for you by adding the Skywatch TV channel to Roku or Apple TV, or just send us right to your smartphone or tablet with the free Skywatch TV mobile app. Instructions and links to the app stores at skywatchtv.com. My website, derekpgilbert.com, features a link to the weekly Bible study that Sharon and I produce and my weekly podcast, A View from the Bunker. This week features an interview with Chad Schaefer, author of The World in the Bondage of Egypt Under the Triumphal Arch of Titus. Fascinating stuff. You'll find that at derekpgilbert.com. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.